It's okay to do that. I want you to imagine that you are in the upper room and you're with Jesus. You've eaten the Passover lamb. Jesus knows that symbolizes him. You've eaten the bitter herbs. Jesus knows that's what sin does. It turns bitter when we partake of it. He's eaten the unleavened bread, a symbol of God's ability to sustain us without sin. He's drunk from the cup. Jesus has instituted the Lord's Supper, which we just took part of. And then Scripture says they sang a hymn and went out. As I've already shared with you, for those who were here, weren't here yet, as I've already shared, the psalms that were sung at the end of the Passover were Psalms 113 to 15, 13 and 14 before this Passover, and Psalms 115 to 118 afterwards. We're going to focus on Psalm 116. Psalm 116. You don't need to look in your Bible. It will be on the screen. I want you to think about what it would mean to Jesus as he's singing this psalm, as he sings the words of this psalm, knowing that he is facing the agony and the cruelty of the mob and the people in the cross, knowing what lies ahead for him, that he is already feeling the sense of the sins of the world being placed upon him. Notice the first words of this psalm. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. I wonder if Jesus was able to get the knot out of his throat when he sang that. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. And Jesus knew that's what he was about to face. Trouble and sorrow unlike anyone else had ever faced or ever will face. Not just in the history of the world, but in the history of the universe. I wonder what Jesus was thinking as he sang these words. Verse 4. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted when I was in great need. He saved me. I wonder what Jesus thought as he sang this, knowing that he was going to die. He saved me? I wonder if he thought, God, if you are a righteous and gracious God, full of compassion, why do I have to go through this? And if you think that's a bit far off, isn't that what he struggled with in the Garden of Gethsemane? If possible, let this cup pass from me. I wonder if knowing that he was going to the cross as he sang these words when he came to what is now verse 7 and sang the words, be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. I wonder if some thoughts of how God had been good to him throughout his life and ministry came to the forefront and enabled him to be prepared to face what he was going to face. I wonder when he came to the next part of the psalm, that reads, O Lord, you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore I said, I am greatly afflicted. I wonder when he was on the cross if that phrase, I believe, in spite of my affliction, if those words of that song he'd just sung didn't come to the forefront of his mind, giving him the resolve to continue to do the work he'd been called to do. I wonder if when he heard the lies that were said about him in Pilate's judgment hall, the lies that were said about him on the way to the cross, the lies that were said about him while he was hanging there on the cross, I wonder if he remembered, in my dismay I said, all men are liars. And I wonder if that may not have been what caused him not to focus on those who told the lies, but to focus on those who admitted their needs. I wonder. when he went on in the psalm, continuing to sing, "How can I repay the Lord for his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord." Jesus didn't just lift up the cup of salvation. Jesus became the cup of salvation by taking the cup of wrath that we deserve. He gives us the cup of salvation. I wonder if when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, if he didn't, when he was praying, "Let this cup pass from me," he didn't remember the words, "I will lift up the cup of salvation," and that enabled him to go through. "I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people." It doesn't say what the vows were in the psalm. Vows could mean anything you promise to the Lord, whatever you promised, whether it's the sacrifice of a lamb, whether it's giving an offering to the temple, or whether it's giving your very self in service to God. I wonder when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and when he was on the cross, if this song didn't come flooding back to his mind, encouraging and strengthening him, "I will fulfill my vows to the Lord." Verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saint. That word precious has two meanings, and both apply. It can mean costly in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why? Because in order for God to redeem us, in order for God to be able to take us and either translate us or to resurrect us at the end of time, it would require the death of his son. It was a costly death for the saints. But it's also precious. When God's people dies, God grieves. And when God's people die, God is thankful that they do not have to go through this world of sin and suffering any longer. I wonder if when Jesus was dying in our place, if the costly aspect of this verse did not come through to him loud and clear. I wonder if in his own mind he wasn't singing as we sometimes do when we can't sing out loud a song. I wonder if he wasn't singing, "Oh, precious, precious is my death in the eyes of my Father." The song continues. "O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. And once again, I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of the people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord." Certainly, Jesus recognized that when he died, he was the suffering servant. He was the servant who was going to do what his Father asked him to do all the way to the cross in order that he might serve us and offer us the salvation that only he could give. I wonder again when he sang again, "I will fulfill my vows," but it's in the presence of all his people. I wonder when he was hanging on the cross and people were shouting and crying out, "Save yourself. Prove that you're the Messiah. Save yourself." He chose to remain on the cross because he was going to fulfill the promise he'd made, the promise that he would die in my behalf, in your behalf. He would die for the sins of the world. When Jesus sang, knowing what he was going to face, he sang this psalm. I can't begin to believe that I can imagine everything that was going through Jesus' mind when he sang the psalm. Can you? But he sang the psalm. Songs are powerful. They do that for us. I know that many of you have experienced times of difficulties when you sing your favorite hymn or your favorite chorus or whatever it might be, and it lifts you in spite of what you face. They sang a song and went out. They sang this psalm along with Psalm 115, 117, and 118. All of them pertinent. All of them enhancing the meaning of Jesus preparing to go to the cross to be our Savior. We have participated in the Lord's Supper together. We are going to sing some songs as we prepare to go out. I invite you to join in as we sing songs of redemption. I invite you to join in as we sing songs about what God has done for us. And praise team may go ahead and make your way up. I would invite you to join in as we end by singing a song about the second coming, because Jesus said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. I invite you to join in remembering Psalm 116, that psalm is primarily a psalm about what Jesus has done for us. Won't you join the praise team, other members of the church family, along with the angels in heaven, as we sing psalms of praise to God?